recap of Sunday's readings, it's time for Homily Highlights on Mater Dei Radio.
And for this week's Homily Highlight, we head north of the river and listen to Father Kyle Rink. He is the associate priest at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Vancouver.
When I was about 6 years old, I learned a lesson that stuck with me the rest of my life. At this time, my family had just had a birthday party, and after cleaning up, there were still kind of these big bowls of chips and cookies and other snacks that we just didn't have space for, and so they just stayed out on the counter, with the strong instruction from our parents, don't eat any of the leftovers from the party. And I fully intended to do that. But you know, 6-year-old Kyle woke up that morning and saw that big bowl of Doritos, those big bright orange chips there, and I realized something, that my parents told me I couldn't eat them, but they didn't say anything about sampling or tasting them, right? I also saw that nobody else was around, so I couldn't pass up the opportunity. So I gobbled down a nice little handful of those bright orange Doritos. Now, I was sure that I was sneaky about this, and so when my mom came downstairs and asked me if I have eaten any of the Doritos, I looked at her with my face and hands as bright orange as the harvest moon, and said, no, Mom. Literally caught red-handed. Now, the reason I remember this so much wasn't because of that. It was because of the punishment I received. You know, my parents, instead of just videotaping this and submitting it to America's Funniest Home Videos, which they could have done, instead of doing that, they sat me down and had a nice talking to and explained that lying was just not acceptable in the Rink house and that we Rinks were honest people and I was expected to do better. And you might think, well, that's kind of harsh for just a little kid who ate some chips, right? That's kind of a harsh punishment. But honestly, that's exactly what I needed. And let me tell you, I've striven to be honest ever since, especially when my parents and chips are involved. You know, it's funny how we human beings, we kind of like to downplay our small sins, like those little lies that make ourselves look a little better, or the gossip that we have against our unjust boss and justify it by saying, well, he's unjust anyways, or that little habit of lust that we dismiss as just looking, you know? Whatever that little thing is for you, it's so important to be aware of all those small little habits, because it's those little habits that can build and become bigger problems. Now, I'm not suggesting that every kid who sneaks a Dorito is gonna become a bank robber, right? But I am saying that big sins don't come out of nowhere, right? They usually grow from somewhere. They start with little small things and grow. And if we let our habits go unchecked, they can build into something that really hurts us or hurts the people around us. And this is what's described in the first reading. The prophet Amos has to call out the Israelites. He accuses them of diminishing the ephah, adding to the shekel, and fixing the scales for cheating. And if you just imagine this old-time Israeli community, or this kind of Arabic community, where they have actual scales to weigh how much food or how much spices they were gonna sell in the marketplace. And just imagine them kind of sliding that scale over just a little bit, right? And the thing is, I'm sure it started off innocently. Perhaps someone was justifying that, well, it's been a tough year here on the farm, and well, we've gotta make up the difference somehow. So we're gonna just slide that scale over a little bit so that what we sell appears to be more, but actually wasn't quite the full amount. And then that little thing, that little justification becomes a habit, and all of a sudden, they've become a dishonest people. And now the prophet has to come down and say, guys, shape up or something bad's gonna happen. Now, St. Thomas Aquinas later called this the principle of habituation. Essentially what happens when a small vice becomes a habit, and then that habit continues to grow and becomes a big problem. Let's just say my weak spot is gluttony or overeating. It starts with that little too much dessert after dinner, right? After dinner, right? But over time, a little too much becomes just normal. It's just what I do. And then you start sneaking it in between meals and before breakfast and whatever, you know, all those different times. And then I start to turn to food when I get stressed, right? It becomes my outlet. And all of a sudden, I go to the doctor and I ask what the blood type is. And they say, your blood type's chocolate. Now, the extreme example of this, of course, is addiction, where we become unable to actually choose anything besides that bad habit we've acquired. I know there's plenty of people in this room who are struggling with those exact things, whether that's in the form of alcohol or pornography or anything else. It's the same thing. It's that little sin that's habituated and becomes a big problem. So where do we go from here? How can we face these things? Well, first of all, I want to just put this out here, because if we're going to make any progress in building virtue, in battling those little vices of our lives, it's going to start by opening our arms to the Lord Jesus and asking for his help. Amen? I mean, because the fact is, if Jesus overcame every vice, then we got to ask him for help. Jesus didn't fall into gluttony, but rather fasted 40 days in the desert and then feasted with his friends in the best way. He didn't fall into the sin of lust, but rather met with prostitutes and the women at the well and brought them back into the fold. Jesus didn't fall into pride, rather he gave everything on the cross, pouring himself out of selflessness. And so whatever vice you particularly struggle with, the Lord Jesus has already conquered that. So ask him for the help. Let him into your heart. And that requires humility. We have to first acknowledge that we have that vice. We have to acknowledge our imperfections. In other words, we have to admit and say, okay, God, I know I have Dorito on my face, right? We have to do that. And that requires humility. But if we can invite the Lord Jesus in, then at least we have a good starting point. Okay, so what next? We've got the Lord. We have the right tools for the job. But the Lord's not just going to instantly solve your problems, right? The Lord's going to help you climb that mountain. He's going to help you climb and conquer that thing as well. And the next thing is to start small. If your struggle is, again, food or gluttony, I'm not sure why I'm so fixated. Maybe I'm just hungry. I'm not sure. Anyways, it's just an easy example. So if your struggle is food, for example, maybe start by at least making the first meal of your day healthy. And then whatever happens after that happens. If your struggle is your cell phone, maybe give your cell phone to your spouse after 9 p.m. and have him or her take, you know, a little accountability, right? And, you know, it doesn't matter really who else knows you're doing this necessarily. It's about you and the Lord. Jesus tells us in the gospel very clearly. He says, the person who is trustworthy in small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in small matters likewise is also dishonest in great ones. And, you know, when Jesus says this, he's looking eye to eye with his disciples. Even though these disciples, these 12 apostles, are following their Lord, their motives aren't pure yet. I mean, they're still secretly hoping that Jesus is going to be some kind of earthly king with great power, and they're going to get some of that power. And that's why when Jesus was arrested and killed, they turn away, and they deny that they even know who he is. It's like they're being, you know, kind of dishonest children with Doritos on their face, right? It's that same thing. It all comes back to that. And the Lord, and here's the image, because the fact is sophisticated as we think we are, compared to God's eyes, we're just little children. We're that little child with the Dorito on their face that's trying to hide from what God knows. The Lord knows the depths of our heart. That was the disciples. And I think if we're honest, sometimes we're kind of like them at times. We're not always pure with our intentions either. And so we have to be humble, especially when no one else is going to care. And a great example of this kind of honest humility is one of my favorite new saints, Saint Pier Giorgio Vasari. Just last Sunday, he was made a saint. And Pier Giorgio Vasari had this great, there's so many stories. I'm going to just tell you one little thing about Vasari, because he's so cool. One thing that he did was he really looked at the stuff he had, not as so much material goods. He didn't see the stuff. He saw what the potential use was. Now, he was raised, Pier Giorgio was raised in a very wealthy Italian family. And his parents bought him all kinds of nice things, nice clothes, and all kinds of great stuff. And the thing is, whenever Vasari got a nice piece of clothing, he would think, oh, this is great. I know a poor family that could use this. And he'd give it away to the poor. And it drove his parents up the wall because they were giving him these nice things. And they said, where's that nice jacket we just bought you? Oh, I gave it to a poor person. What do you mean? We spent all this money. He didn't care. He didn't see the money behind it. He saw the person. And that was what got him through. He never saw things as just wealth, but as something that could benefit a person. Jesus says, if you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? Brothers and sisters, your true wealth awaits you in heaven. That moment when all of our imperfections cease, all of our temptations are burned away as we behold God face to face. So while you are here on this earth, deal well with your dishonest or your imperfect wealth wisely, because there's no space for Dorito face in heaven.
And that is today's homily highlight from Father Dorito Face, also known as Father Kyle Reek, a wonderful young priest in the Archdiocese of Seattle. He is part of the parish family that serves St. Joseph's Catholic Church, Our Lady of Lourdes, and the Proto-Cathedral of St. James the Greater.